Right. So we will be able to get, we are just sorting out some few, you know, technical issues here and there, but we'll be right. And if you look at the south to south, you know, cooperation between Namibia, China, and the rest of the global south, you see that there were Chinese experts that came to Namibia to assist in terms of agriculture. You know, the agricultural experts from China. And I think you were able to hear them when they were presenting themselves at the Ministry of Agriculture some 4 months ago. You know, when we were talking about, you know, soil experts, experts in, you know, in agronomy and all, you know, agricultural fields. You were able to listen in. Because China is leading also in, you know, agricultural expertise. They are also leading. So it's a combination of, you know, advancement, really, that Africa is able to learn from China in many aspects. And some few months ago also, there was another presentation on, you know, led by the Namibia, the National Planning Commission, when they went to China, and they were presenting, you know, what they learned from China, especially when it comes to the health sector. All right, so we are going to listen in to both the presentation from the ambassador and also the speech that was read in, on behalf of the Minister of International Relations, that is Selma Shipala Musavi, by Georgina Matundu, who is the Deputy Minister.
Honorable Secretary Sophia Shaningwar, Honorable Vice. I'm very honored to welcome all of you to attend the reception celebrating the 35th anniversary of the establishment of diplomatic relations between China and Namibia, and the 76th anniversary of the founding of the People's Republic of China. On behalf of the Chinese Embassy in Namibia, I would like to extend my heartfelt thanks to our Namibian friends from all walks of life who have long supported the China-Namibia relations. I send my festive greetings to my fellow Chinese in Namibia, and I express my sincere gratitude to all of you for joining us this evening. And actually, this is the first time for the embassy to host a reception outdoors in our beautiful compound. I hope you enjoy it. On this joyous occasion, we have specially arranged nearly 2 hours of symphonic music to celebrate the 35th anniversary of China-Namibia diplomatic relations. Over the past 35 years, with the strong support of successive governments and leaders of both countries, especially under the strategic guidance of our heads of state and through the joint efforts of both sides, China-Namibia relations have maintained strong momentum, become a model of brotherly relationship among developing countries, and presented a beautiful and grand symphony of enduring cooperation. Looking back on the 35 years of China-Namibia relations, the two sides have always treated each other as equals, supported each other, and helped each other. High-level visits have been frequent, and political relations remain close. In 2018, President Xi Jinping and then President Hage Geingob decided to establish China-Namibia Comprehensive Strategic and Cooperative Partnership, which has become a significant milestone in the diplomatic relations between our two countries. We are glad that since the establishment of diplomatic relations, the mutually beneficial trade and economic cooperation between our two countries has continued to expand. China has long been Namibia's major trading partner and the largest source of foreign direct investment. As a key development partner, China has implemented a series of aid projects in Namibia, which have directly benefited the local people. As both belonging to the global south, our two countries sharing similar historical experiences and values and upholding multilateralism and international fairness and justice, have always maintained close communication on major international and regional issues. Our two peoples have forged their profound friendship as early as during Namibia's struggle for national independence, and continue to maintain close contacts since the establishment of diplomatic ties, with mutual understanding and friendly sentiments toward each other constantly deepened. The 35 years of friendly exchanges between China and Namibia have fully demonstrated that both countries attach great importance to the development of bilateral relations, which serves the common interests of both sides and contributes to the well-being of our peoples. And China and Namibia have always been good friends and partners who can trust each other. Looking ahead, we are full of confidence in the future of China-Namibia relations. We stand ready to work together with the Namibian side to fully tap the potential of our bilateral relations and push forward the China-Namibia relations for even greater development. Last December, His Excellency President Xi Jinping sent a congratulatory message to Her Excellency Dr. Ntombo Nandi Ndetwa shortly after Her Excellency was elected President of the Republic of Namibia. In March this year, President Xi assigned his special envoy to attend President Ndetwa's inauguration. In January, Chinese Foreign Minister Wang Yi, following the tradition of successive Chinese foreign ministers to choose Africa as the destination of their first overseas visit every year, Minister Wang Yi visited Namibia as the first stop of his Africa trip this year. In June, Honorable Selma Ashipala Musavi, Minister of International Relations and Trade of Namibia, attended the ministerial meeting of coordinators on the implementation of the follow-up actions of the FOCAC held in Changsha, China, at the invitation of the Chinese side. So in this important year marking the 35th anniversary of the diplomatic ties, China-Namibia relations are continuing their good momentum of development and bode well for a very promising future. We will continue to actively implement the outcomes of the FOCAC Beijing Summit and the consensus reached at the bilateral meeting between our two heads of state last September. We will support the Namibian government in achieving the social economic goals set out in NDP 6. We will work with the Namibian side to implement the zero tariff treatment to African countries announced by President Xi at an early date, and ensure that our bilateral trade and development cooperation better align with Namibia's actual needs, helping Namibia achieve industrialization and agricultural modernization. Ladies and gentlemen, this year marks the 76th anniversary of the founding of the People's Republic of China. Under the strong leadership of the Communist Party of China, China has achieved the two major miracles of the past 40 years of rapid economic growth and long-term social stability, and found a development path suited to China's national conditions. That is the socialism with China's characteristics. By successfully lifting over 800 million people out of poverty and building a moderately prosperous society in all respects, The experience of China's successful development shows that there's more than one path to modernization. In order to achieve modernization, a country should not only follow the general rules of modernization, but also, more importantly, conform with its own national realities and adopt an approach with its own characteristics. Now, guided by Xi Jinping's thought on socialism with Chinese characteristics for the new era, the Communist Party of China is leading the Chinese people on a new journey toward Chinese modernization and the greater rejuvenation of the Chinese nation. We are focusing on developing new quality productive forces, achieving high quality development, and advancing high level opening up. Despite significant external shocks, China's GDP grew by 5.3% in the first half this year. We are confident and capable of maintaining relatively fast economic growth. As the world's second largest economy, second largest consumer market, largest manufacturing nation, and a rising force in technological innovation, China will continue to play a major role in promoting global economic development. Being the largest developing country and a permanent member of the UN Security Council, China actively fulfills its responsibility in promoting world peace and development. The vision of building a community with a shared future for humanity and the Global Development Initiative, Global Security Initiative, and Global Civilization Initiative proposed by President Xi Jinping have gained increasing support from countries around the world. At a recent Shanghai Cooperation Organization Plus meeting, President Xi proposed the Global Governance Initiative, in which the core concepts are adhering to sovereign equality, abiding by international law, practicing multilateralism, advocating the people-centered approach, and focusing on making real actions. This is another important public good that China offers to the world, aiming to contribute Chinese wisdom and solutions to improving global governance. China recently held a grand ceremony to commemorate the 80th anniversary of the victory of the Chinese People's War of Resistance against Japanese aggression and the World Anti-Fascist War. The purpose is to remember history, honor fallen heroes, cherish peace, and create a better future. As President Xi stated, China will always be a force for peace, stability, and progress in the world. We sincerely hope that all countries will draw lessons from history, value peace, jointly advance world modernization, and create a better future for humanity. Ladies and gentlemen, over the past 35 years, China-Namibia relations have blossomed and borne fruit, becoming a shining example of South-South cooperation. Today, as we celebrate the 35th anniversary of China-Namibia diplomatic relations, we are not only reflecting on the achievements of our past cooperation, but also looking ahead to the endless possibilities of the future. Facing the new era, China is ready to join hands with Namibia to carry forward our traditional friendship, elevate our comprehensive strategic and cooperative partnership to new heights, and together compose a new symphony of China-Namibia win-win cooperation. In conclusion, ladies and gentlemen, let's raise our glasses.
Bargain hunters, where you saves has slashed price on groceries, treats, fresh fruits and veggies. 2 kilos real good frozen mixed chicken portions, just 89.99 Namibian dollars. 10 kilos number one maize meal, 99.99 Namibian dollars. And pay just 12.99 Namibian dollars for each of the following. Etten Roads baked beans in tomato sauce, 100 grams champion French bologna, 20 U brand rooibos tea bags. Save big at you save.
Yeah.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
All right. Like I said, we are joined online by Frederico Lynx, Research Associate at IPPR. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Franz, and thanks for having me on again. It's been a while.
Yeah, very, very long while indeed. You have been a busy bee.
Yes, yes. You know, things are happening.
Yeah. And our interest is in whether or not we have been hearing so much about NDP-6, I think this past, you know, 2-3 months, and it is unfortunate that many people have not even have time to go through the document and, you know, acquaint themselves with what the government is intending to do. But then we are looking at the issue of employment, which is very high according to statistics. But the government is saying that they want by 2030 to reach a 75% employment rate. So take us through, how possible is that? You know, how practical is that?
Yeah. Look, I think, you know, the ambition is commendable, but you know, the political rhetoric has to dial it down a bit, and you know, has to, you know, see things clearly, and we have to approach things realistically. We can't be overselling things or exaggerating things. And this is exactly what is happening. And it's clear we're not, the mechanisms and the initiatives are simply not in place to achieve that. I mean, it's unclear how we're going to achieve a 75% employment rate. Now, when we talk about employment, you know, let's talk about unemployment. If you take that, you know, according to the broad definition of employment, we are over 50% of our population is, of our working age population is unemployed. In a narrow definition, just over 30%, 36% or something, 37, almost 37%. So if we say, you know, attack the narrow definition, the 36%, what we're talking about is, over the next 4 years, bringing that 36% down by 11 percentage points to 25%. And that's a big swing we're talking about. And it's unclear where those jobs are going to come from over 5 years. It really is. So it's a bit of a, you know, we're still waiting to see how this is going to be achieved. Because that's really the question, you know, how is this going to happen?
Yeah, I mean, looking at you are saying 36% employed, because the government is saying, according to page 4 in the booklet, that they are going to bring it to 75% from 63.4%. In my little understanding, it seems the government is asserting that currently the employment of the country is, the employment rate is at 63.4%.
Yeah, because according to the narrow definition, the unemployment rate is 36.6.
Hmm.
So, you know, that means that employment stands at 63%
yes.
Percent, yeah.
Okay. So, but looking at,
you know, the issue, because you cannot have employment without, upscaling the, skills development. And according, because you are responsible with research and so forth, but when you talk about Namibian skilled labor force, where do we stand as far as that is concerned? Do we stand in a capacity where we can easily believe what the government is saying, that they can achieve that in 4 years?
No, certainly not. I mean, I don't think that is possible. If you look at, for instance, the four IR task force.
Yes.
The report the four IR task force produced, which is available on the website of the presidency. And you look at the green hydrogen sector that Hyphen produced. If you look at those reports together, and they speak of things like, math, science, and readiness, and the level of the quality of the education and so forth. And all of those reports paint a fantastic education, pointing out that our, STEM, the maths and science and engineering and those subjects, the subjects that students need, that pupils need to be able to go to university and get qualifications in math, science, and those sorts of subjects or fields. The quality of our education system is not up to scratch. And we're not producing the skills for high-tech jobs, for instance. It's clear that educationally we aren't where we're supposed to be in terms of becoming, if we look at Vision 2030, a knowledge economy, knowledge-based economy by 2030, which means we won't be an economy with high-skilled, high qualified, job candidates, able to produce high quality jobs. That's what the evidence suggests. And this is a number of studies now that point to this. And we look at things like, we have at high school levels, the pass rates in our education system are low. And the mark that students need, that pupils need to go from one grade to another, is shockingly low. And it's nowhere near 50% to pass from one grade to another grade. So you see a lack of seriousness around education, despite all the talk of education, being this big sector and getting all this money annually out of the budgetary allocations. There are fundamental issues with our education system and the planning of education system and the quality of our education system at basic education level and at tertiary education level that undermine any narrative of education being this education being significant and critical in uplifting Namibians. It's simply not, the evidence does not suggest that, which means the skills also you draw this directly to the quality of skills being produced in this country. We are struggling to get a vocational training sector off the ground. We simply aren't producing the quality of graduates at a rate that is necessary in the economy. The centers aren't properly equipped and resourced and capacitated. Simply don't have the people that have the high quality skills necessary to be able to train our trainees at vocational training centers. So they can only go to a certain level, and then what? Then they have to go somewhere else. So I'm saying, you know, that the evidence does not support the intentions or the rhetoric that is coming out of government at this point.
Then where do we find ourselves? Because on the other side, we are talking about a lot of graduates. Namibian universities producing a lot of graduates every time, and there are speeches given from both, ministerial level and, of course, faculty level on, this so-called achievement that is being achieved. What are we doing here? Because now versus what is practically needed, how do we combine, how do we reconcile the two?
These are the questions, of course. When we talk about the seriousness of skills of knowledge and so on, we have to be honest about what we are in Namibia. We are a low information, low innovation society. We don't innovate in this country, and that speaks to how we engage with knowledge, how we don't innovate is because we're not using knowledge. Our processes are not knowledge driven. Look at our economy. It's the primary sectors. It's mining. It's agriculture. These are the things that are, sort of forming the basis and the base of our economy. So it's not high tech skills. It's not high tech jobs. It's not, high tech sectors. Knowledge sectors. It's none of these things. And that's where you see it. And you see, and when we're talking about a knowledge economy, the economies of the future, that's what we're talking about. The tech-based economies and preparing our societies, to become smarter in a tech future. And we're simply not seeing that. We're not seeing, you look at, how much is spent on research and development in Namibia? How much money in government is allocated towards research, or even at our educational institutions, and it's negligible. So it's clear we're not a society that is producing research that fuels innovation, that is fueling a knowledge that's supposed to be fueling a knowledge economy that is driven by innovative business startups and so on. These things aren't happening here. It comes back to the question. So where are all these jobs going to come from? Where are all these graduates? We have a challenge with employing graduates. Why is that? Our economy isn't producing the goods. It's not producing the goods because there's a mismatch in skills. The available workforce simply is not what what employers and future employers are actually in need of. So, there's a lot here to question, and a lot here that needs to be addressed. The political rhetoric isn't helping. Let me put it that way.
But the government is talking about primary, secondary, and tertiary industries. that are kind of going to be the backbone, you know, through which employment is going to come from. And now you are talking about, you know, lack of knowledge-based economy. But how do we find ourselves in this situation? Because in other countries, we have agricultural scientists, we have, you know, we have mineral, you know, specialists, we have experts in these fields that are very low when it comes to us. They are low-yielding kind of jobs. And also looking at the wages, the government wants to say that by 2030, they want to make sure that everybody has, you know, decent wages compared to now. So, and that seems to be very difficult in reconciling what is practically on the ground.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I'm saying. I mean, anybody who looks at this critically and can clearly see, I mean, and we have to ask, you know, what are these assessments based on? What are these claims and statements government is making? What is it based this on? Because, you know, if you're a serious observer, you're looking at this and you're saying, I don't see how this is going to happen. You know, that the underlying factors that should be in place for this sort of what we're talking about, you know, an elevated economic period of economic growth driven by sectors that are producing thousands and thousands of jobs every year. Where's the evidence of this? What will drive this? We're talking, we had this big green hydrogen conference last week, here in Namibia, the African, Global Africa Green Hydrogen Summit. I'm glad there was a sense of realism about the discussion, as opposed to all the hype of the last few years. And where people were saying, this, because over the years we've heard, you know, about 50,000 jobs, and then it became 150,000 jobs, and then it became 500,000 jobs and so on. The green hydrogen economy isn't going to produce that many jobs. It's not going to happen. The sector is a highly technical sector. It's going to have very few jobs. And if Namibians, the Namibian is not producing, and putting, has an output of pupils that can go onto university to study, maths and science and engineering related courses of a higher quality than currently exists in our country. These jobs are not going to be filled by Namibians if we don't step up in terms of the quality of education. These are going to be foreigners. The few jobs that are going to be there are going to be foreigners to a large extent. Mm. And the same in the oil and gas sector. You know, if our education system, if our vocational training sector is not producing the skills, it's going to be foreigners who are going to take up these jobs. And that's not, we're not talking about tens and hundreds of thousands of jobs. We're not. We have to be realistic. And this is what some of the commentators at last week saw.
But how do we help the government? How do people, how organizations like yours assist the government to make, you know, at least claims that are based on practical realities?
Of course, this spurt, economic growth spurt that will produce all these jobs. Where's this going to happen?
That
we keep coming back to this question. I mean, what is going to make it happen for Namibia, that we're going to shave 11 percentage points off of the unemployment rate in the space of 5 years? What is going to happen?
Yeah. But then, is there any way to assist the government? come up at least to make claims that are based on reality.
Well, I mean, that's what we keep on advocating for. For the longest time we've been critical of the state for a culture that does not value evidence-based decision making. And it's high time. We're in 2025. We're in the 21st century. Data and evidence should guide decision making. Here we do things, and then if they don't work out, then we ask why didn't they work out? How do we plan if we don't have data and evidence to plan with and plan around? And this is a big problem in Namibia, across the continent. I mean, that this is a big issue. If you look at policy researchers across the continent, it's the same story. Where's the evidence that informs the decision making of African governments? Where's the data? Why aren't we producing quality, credible, up-to-date data to inform policy making, to inform decision making in our countries? And then if development plans fall short and initiatives fall short, there's a clear reason why. It's because it's not evidence-based. It's not data-based. It's not data-driven. Mm. And this is the problem. We have to look at what is really happening in our society. Mine the data for what it says and for solutions. That's what we need to do. We can't just go out there and make statements, and then if they don't come true, what happens politically if 5 years from now, none of what government says has happened? None of it has been delivered. None of those promises in the Swapo Party Manifesto implementation plan, in the National Development Plan, none of it has happened. None of it has come true. None of it has been delivered. What happens then politically? Already trust in government.
We will come up with NDP 7.
Yeah. And here's the thing. Trust in government is in steep decline. Namibians simply don't trust the government because they look at the lack of service delivery. And they're just saying things. And when you hear some of these things, then people say they've been saying these things year in and year out, and what is materialized? So, this is what's happening across the continent, across the region, the SADC region, where the trust in government across the continent is just low. And how do you rebuild trust? That's the question. How do you rebuild trust? By being honest, by being consultative, by delivery. And if you're just going out there and making statements and bombarding the public with political rhetoric and with things people might want to hear, that's not the way to build trust. The way things are done has to change. It has to change. We need better evidence. We need better data and information gathering within government, and that should inform policy and development plan formulation. That's what needs to happen. And only then will we know. Okay, so here the data says this is what's happening. And it also tells us what the possible solutions could be. Otherwise, we're just, throwing porridge against the wall and hope some of it sticks. That's basically what it comes down to. Some of it might stick. Some of these things might actually work out, but most of it probably won't. And we can't, that can't be how the state operates.
Right. So, lastly, the government was talking about technological advancement, like enhancing it and making sure that it becomes this, big pillar on, you know, development. But when we look, but where are we technologically? In especially as far as the technological food chain is concerned, where do we find ourselves?
Friends, we import things. We don't build things here. We are not, as I said, I mean, we don't innovate. We are outside the innovation loops, the global innovation loops. We're not connected to the major innovation hubs in the world. So we are takers. We are not givers. Things are created and produced in other parts of the world. What sort of society we are in terms of technology and so forth. Everything we've been talking about up to this point, you know, it just feels like we come back to, you know, we need to reorientate ourselves and become really invest in becoming a knowledge economy, an economy that is technologically savvy and knows how to deploy technology for innovation and for economic growth and so on. Because we don't. We simply don't. Our economy isn't set up that way. And we have to reorientate ourselves. But that means, you know, making the investments, and restructuring, rebuilding, transforming, which is not a 5-year project. What we're talking here about here is something that will take longer than 5, 10, 15 years, if we're serious. It's not something that will happen in the space of a development plan, in the period of a development plan, a 5-year development plan. So that's what I'm talking about. You know, we have to be serious. We've wasted a lot of time over the last two, three decades. And now we're catching up, you know, and a lot of what we want to do is still out of reach. I mean, we still haven't achieved 100% electrification in this country. We have schools in this country, many schools that don't have electricity. So where do you start talking about technology in those schools, you know, computers and things like that. When half your population do not have electricity in their houses, schools don't have electricity, kids are being taught under trees and so on. They don't have the labs, the computer labs, the science labs, to be able to operate in a 21st century school system. Technology, you know, we aren't where we're supposed to be as a 21st century country. And that's the bottom line. We're still trying to get 20th century technology spread across the country. Electricity, you know. We're still trying to figure that out. How are we going to do that? So, you know, I don't know what to say. You know, but we are way behind, and it's clear. I mean, if you follow sort of the global innovation discussions and so on, we're not even having those sorts of discussions in Namibia. And some of these conferences that I go to, international conferences, the things they're talking about that we haven't even started talking about in this country. You know, it's one of those things where we hope that communication information technology helps us sort of leapfrog certain stages, but it's not happening. What now? How do we go further? What do we do to give us this spurt into the future, this growth spurt into the future that helps us to overcome all of these challenges? And it's not, you know, there's no like one fix or a silver bullet. there's a lot of things that have to be done at various levels of state and various levels in the private sector and investment sectors and so on, civil society and so on. Because it's not one party, one sector that will fix things. Things happen. Fixes will have to be introduced at various levels and tiers and within society to for us to become what we aspire to be at some point.
Right, Federico, let me thank you very much for your time and wishing you a great day ahead.
Thank you, Franz. All the best to you too.
Right. All right, that was Federico Links. One of the key takeaway from the conversation here is that we do not have a knowledge-based, so we are not a knowledge-based society. Now, before you point a finger to the government, you also need to allow the four fingers to point back to you. You know, because you are pointing a finger to the government, one finger. But allow those four fingers to point back to you. Because how many workshops are conducted in your office premises and you in fact run away from the workshop? You don't attend workshops. You sneak out. Most of you only come and just show your face. After lunch, disappear. So, we are not a knowledge-based society. And a knowledge-based society is easy to develop because everyone on their individual level is participating, is already developing and skilling themselves. You know, everyone is already developing and upskilling themselves on an individual level. But if you have a society which is not knowledge-driven, you will have problem. Because we are still struggling to, you know, fulfill the 20th century with electricity to, you know, erect network towers, communication stuff. We're still fighting with that. By the time 5G and all, you know, other technologies come through, we will still be fighting to put water in wherever, you know, to fix toilets here and there, flushable toilets, and you see people are still under trees. By the time we erect two class blocks, it will take another years, you know, bunch of years for us to put in and to install, you know, computers there and internet. So it is something. That's why you find in Africa, when a government official can even go and opening a dumping site. And somebody can go there and make a speech. This dumping site will contribute to development. What development? Because this person himself as a politician is also not knowledge based. How do you travel from Windhoek to go and open a dumping site or inaugurate a dumping site? So, and we make statements that are very much embarrassing. So it's a sign that we are not, as a society, you know, we are not a knowledge based. So, and we are still struggling with the basics. And that's why we cannot participate in international conferences, because what people are talking about there, we are not yet there. And we cannot even, you know, come from that conference and come and make an impact there, because we don't know where to. When we come here, we will not know where to start because we are still in the 20th century. So 0832 888 401 if you want to be part of the conversation. We are still in the 19th century. We are not yet in, you know, the 21st century. We are 2 centuries behind. Our telecommunication and internet infrastructure is 40 years old, which means Europe is 40 years old when it comes to communication and technology. This communication, just simple communication, 40 years old, you know, behind us. I mean, ahead of us. So we are still in the 19th century. And that's why even our education is not able to produce skilled labor. And not only skilled, it's, you know, required skilled, modern skills. We have a lot of graduates. By the time you graduate with that course that you have now, by the time you are done, your course becomes irrelevant or your qualification is irrelevant. So you need to go back to school again by the time you are done. So the cycle continues. So we have a problem. We have a major problem. But 4 years to come, we are yet to see whether the government is able to achieve that which they have set out to achieve. It's a good ambition. The, you know, NDP 6 is a good book. And I want to encourage everyone to read it for yourself. Read the NDP policy document, NDP 6 policy document. Read the NDP booklet, NDP 6 booklet. And if you can, you can read, start from NDP 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, then you come to 6. Don't forget the Harambe Prosperity Plan 1, 2. Look at the challenges and the failures of government and look at the ambitions. The ambitions are good. But, well, they are not, according to Federico, they are not evidence and data based. They are not guided by data. But we have a National Planning Commission, which will try to engage them as well so that they come through, to take us through that on what evidence, what informs, you know, these ambitions. That's a conversation that we need to have. What informs the ambitions of NDP 6? As I said earlier, we were supposed to listen to the Minister of International Relations. So we're going to listen to it, as we go. But other countries are moving forward because they have aligned themselves with the now. We are still in the day before yesterday. So we are 2 days behind. Others are in the now, we are in the yesterday. We're still talking about, you know, 26 August, Kasinga Day. Of course, those are very important days. But we need to move. We need to understand where the world is. So we need to move and understand where the world is. So our education is not skilled driven. And if it is skilled driven, our skills are very low, are lower than what is required. if we are to technologically advance, if we are to set up industries of green hydrogen, we need students. We need students that understand. We need to modernize, to revamp, and to advance the science, technology, economics, and mathematics. Or then we will come and innovation. And the government is the plan of a government is to incentivize, you know, to prioritize incentives to, you know, manufacturing. That's a good plan. That whoever is going to come up with something and you are manufacturing, we want to make sure that you get some incentives. But what are we going to manufacture? What are we going to manufacture? So those are the questions that we need to ask ourselves. That, okay, fine. We are going to incentivize there. We are going to incentivize the manufacturing. So what do we want? What do we want the people to manufacture? Those are the questions. And we talk about natural resources beneficiation. That's what we want. But what is it that we want to achieve in manufacturing? What do we want to manufacture by 2030? So that's why we focus on topics like this, so that every Namibian should know that what is preventing us from moving ahead is the lack of knowledge. So, the lack of knowledge that we have, the lack of knowledge is the one that is preventing us from not getting where others are. We can go to International Conference on Technology and Economic Innovation, but we'll pick up but a few, because we are at the very lowest food chain when it comes to technology, when it comes to math, mathematics, science, technology, and and economics. We are at the recipient end. Very lower ground when it comes to that. All right, so let's now go back to the speech of the Minister of International Relations. Then we can also just pick it from there.
Stand here before you to deliver the statement on behalf of the Minister of International Relations and Cooperation, Honorable Ambassador Selma Shipala Musavi, who is unable to honor this event with her presence due to other extenuating reasons beyond her control. Companionable greetings from your dear sister. My task this evening has been made very simple because I'm just delivering the message of the minister. Your Excellency, the government and people of the Republic of Namibia extend their warmest congratulations and best wishes to the government and people of the People's Republic of China as we join you in celebrating the two important milestones, the 76th anniversary of the founding of the People's Republic of China and the 35th anniversary of the establishment of the diplomatic relations between Namibia and China. Our two nations share a relationship deeply rooted in solidarity, mutual respect, and shared aspirations. Since the establishment of the diplomatic relations in 1990, Namibia and China have stood side by side, supporting one another in times of challenge and progress alike. This enduring partnership has blossomed into a comprehensive strategic cooperative partnership guided by the vision of our leaders, including the late President, His Excellency Dr. Hage G. Geingob, and His Excellency President Xi Jinping, who together in 2018 elevated our cooperation to new heights under the Belt and Road Initiative. Over the years, cooperation between Namibia and China has flourished across key sectors, which are trade, infrastructure, energy, education, public health, defense, and science and technology. China has been a steadfast partner in Namibia's pursuit of sustainable development, from investment in renewable energy projects such as Rospina Solar Power Plant and the Oshikoto Biomass Power Station to the construction of critical infrastructures including schools, housing, and the Hosea Kutako International Airport Road. Namibia equally value the people-to-people exchanges that has been deepened understanding and friendship between our citizens. Chinese scholarships continue to empower Namibian students and professionals in diverse fields, while Confucius Institute and the recent open Wakanas Library exemplify our shared commitment to cultural and educational enrichment. Your Excellencies, ladies and gentlemen, at the multilateral level, Namibia and China continue to work closely in pursuit of a fairer, more just international order. We recognize China's consistent support for Africa's development agenda, including the Forum on China-Africa Cooperation, FOCAC. Namibia welcomes the pledges made at the 19th FOCAC Summit in 2024, which include the grant assistance towards drought relief, investments in industrialization, and new trade opportunities for Namibian products such as mutton, goat meat, and fisheries. As we commemorate these anniversaries, we reflect with pride on the journey traveled and looked ahead with confidence to the future of our bilateral ties. Namibia remains committed to advancing our comprehensive strategic cooperative partnership with China, fostering closer economic cooperation, expanding opportunities for our people, and strengthening collaborations in science, green energy, and technology to address global challenges such as climate change. Your Excellencies, ladies and gentlemen, as I am coming towards the conclusion, on this historic occasion, Namibia pays tribute to the enduring friendship between our two nations. We reaffirm to work hand in hand with China in building a shared future of peace, prosperity, and sustainable development for our people, our continent, and the world. Your Excellencies, allow me now to use this opportunity to call upon His Excellency Ambassador Weiping to join me at stage as I am about to propose for a toast.
Okay. You might be wondering, why am I playing this speech after a conversation between myself and, Frederico. And some of you are wondering, so what is the correlation between the two? Now, I just want to bring you to attention that, look, our speeches are not equal. You know, when other people are talking and we speak, we are not on the same page. We are talking about yesterday. And they are talking about tomorrow because they are already today. So we are still 2 days behind. So if you listen to what the minister is saying about the relationship between China and Namibia, it's more about, even opening of libraries and all that. So that does not speak to the 21st century. We were no longer supposed to talk about libraries, opening of libraries somewhere, as a basis of bilateral relationship between a most advanced country in technology with Namibia. We were not supposed to talk about that. But we are talking about that because individually in Namibia, we are not a knowledge-based society. So it is very difficult for us to have development. In fact, innovative development. It is very, very difficult because we are not a knowledge-based society. In fact, in Namibia, you find a good topic on the radio and somebody changes it and they start to listen to music or to junk content. Because we are not interested in knowledge. In fact, if you look at our social media and how, sometimes newspapers will publish like the latest story that is trending now, that men are now also able to take their wives' surnames. You see how many comments we those are the things that are driving us. Junk content, useless content. And we make comments, 1,000 comments, and it's all junk. No knowledge, nothing. You walk out from there with nothing. And in fact, even the story writer himself or herself is a journalist knows from the back of her head that is not a knowledge-based story. It doesn't contribute anything to any development of any country. So whether you take your wife's surname or you take your who's surname, those are bedroom issues. You know, those are bedroom issues. Those are not public could be named, you know, those are not issues of public concern. No. What you do in your bedroom, whether you take your wife's surname or you take your surname, those are not national issues. But why? But well, they are making headlines here. Why? Because we are not a knowledge-based, you know, we are not a knowledge-based society. We are not a knowledge-based society. So, our speeches, our presentations, what we call development here, is not what China sees as development. So how do we become bilaterally entangled with China when we are not at the same page? So how do we even have the capacity to negotiate with Japan or with America when we are not at the same pace? So which means it is a win-lose situation because one understands better and one does not. One has a better understanding of what they want. The other one has a wrong understanding of what, you know, of what should be done at current. So we are in a problem. And the problem is that our society is not knowledge-based. That's a major, major problem. And I want you to listen to your politicians and the speech they make. And look at yourself. And what you think you know. And the things that you talk about. It's a clear information. Or that we are not a knowledge based economy. So, we need to think deep and individually what our contribution to development is like. Before we point the government. All right, so our time is a minute to 2:30, and I'll be handing over to Loise in the north with Onkundana Dingi. And I'll be back tomorrow again with another topic of analysis. This is on the radar, of course, but it's on the radar with the France characteristic. It's on the radar with the France characteristics. You know those words, how we used to fail to pronounce them in school. So as for me, I would say it's a goodbye from me, but let us think deep. Let us think deep. What is it that we need to develop? We need knowledge-based society. We need a knowledge-based society. Because when everybody's knowledgeable, innovation is very easy. When everyone is knowledgeable, when a large number is knowledgeable, there'll be large number.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station.
It's a goodbye from me till we meet again tomorrow.
Or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Simon, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Omutiha utekirwa kaguna imatina omjo. Chikao shafasa na nani.
Ya, o prakene otundi ombari oiri apitise mwente de milongo ndatu na ndatu. Wa sika mo programa tuyo mkwanda na zingi. Opa mwena lo isashimi na tukupo pisa kuzake mbinga na mbinga. Sa tukupa ndura o shuwakano kupiki na ke programa de kruza zako. Na tupando atango atate Franza. Shunga na tupemba kwa potuwe tukatu wako mishinu programa ito otunjino. Ama utamekinga nipa ifingino ombari apitise mwente de milongo ndatu na ndatu. Sigo pone ya apitisa omwente de milongo ndatu. Ano kunganda tu kashirira hona tu kupe uyerere bokata winyengepo renenga no kuzame niro shirongo atoranga ne kombinga yeriko atora kombinga atoranga ne ta kombinga anyoda sha kombinga mahupiro ye polisa in mesho tumbyo kata ko mungani ha tupatere mo programa to tunjino atata tukupa o okamito hono ukaega ne wapapya kuchoka tikongini kombinga ya programa njino ovunga nukara wazengera mo kono mura to tunjino karo njigerere shikatira tangwa ndikanga ne tangwa ndei kupa pamo ponga ne tango to ya potu ripora tio ano nora hoita tu onda tatu o hamano yeriari Onora ongoi noyemu. Onora oetatu ondatuetatu ohamano yeriari. Onora ongoi noyemu. Njoko ongane ongozi yetu iyo mo studio kucha. Oto tikongini kumbinga ya shoka na tukate kupamesu kutundika ronena. Shike omangi ya tukupongune na otango. Nono zimbanga nukala watu wanjwa kumapanjake tukupa ungopa. Igele FM Namibia yetu ala ko Facebook, oko Twitter, ko LinkedIn, ko Instagram, anono ashika ukare wetu randura, we oponga nuvu ukara tango ito pitu opona nandeke program, aneke hundana, osho atangeke program, ashashi, o hatu tula kwa ukara tango nuposta wetu, ashi kwa teranga nekuchano, mosho unjiro nengemo program, munungika, oyu toka kala wa watereera mushumbuka kale munangane ushipapo washiringini amesho tumbika tangwa kutanga kumapanya kutu komarunguro kutu hono na tangwa ino zimbo kucho chifo cha the village ochine panjara show ano the village newspaper page to twaza to twaza ko Facebook ko Instagram ko LinkedIn ano na washika ukare weturandura opovro kara ino pitu apa tu nandi nande ko unene ke program unina kuina shunga shiko shifo shetu atutura kona tangwa ibranyo kucha moshifo tashirandu ora anenge osifo shongura omuri wa expecting amoshike nengo uri wategerera moshike ano atango onawa ukare uri wetorandura omprakini kwanyi gwatango to Tutambathana nuyere mboka tutula kukotu hono kwa marungula geto mprakeni wanje. Mwine mboku chotuno chale la etu iliko WhatsApp hono Eagle Media House. Eagle Media House. Shanga wa sechinga nenge shanga wa shanga ngano. Odu shina ukara shikeshi ya pomono pocha pecha ni adhe mono. Mwetu munga nukara wa subscriber. Opo uvule kukara itopi tu wapo tunandeke programa The Siku. Osho watango nge utashanga na kipo piwa itu mboka tutura kuhono kucha estoral cha tutura hoka osho watango oshifo paku uza anokunga natango tushimuka oshimona hono kocha nila itu yo Eagle Media House channel nomo osho kumprakini wanyo zimbo kuchotunu epa wetu royali tunoka epa kwa Eagle FM app toka dhako Play Store toka dhako App Store ona ukare weka downloader opovro kwa wetu pikina ningo pikina ngano programa hili mbepo nge pamo programa ngane ziza pita nare admi hatu za ikereshi okungane hatu tura hono no keshe simbo otovro kwa wapikina no hii